The Human Rights Commission has released a submission strongly opposing the government's proposed changes to treaty clauses and legislation. And Rongomo Taketake Dale Taketemu is with us to explain why the Commission believes the reforms could have significant constitutional and human rights implications. Dale, thank you for joining us on the program. Hoki mai rā te tuine.
Oh, morena.
Thank you. Look, frustration's an understatement. These political tourists come swaggering in. They could be out again in 100 days, but that's up to all of us, Dale. But yet, the squeeze they've put on Māori issues, unprecedented. The Human Rights Commission's described the government's proposed changes to treaty references and legislation as constitutionally regressive. Why is the issue so important, Dale? And why should all New Zealanders be paying close attention to what is happening here?
Well, I think that's probably one of the most basic truths in our submissions and in the public explainer document that we've released to go with it, to help everyone digest what the technical sort of legal aspects of our submission are. The Te Tiriti o Waitangi is the constitutional foundation of this country, so any tutuina around with that, any changes to that, any amendments to that are constitutional by nature. And the government is a duty bearer in the constitutional relationship within Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and it has a series of treaty partners in hapū throughout the country, and there is a proper way to go around engagement with your treaty partners, as New Zealand well knows, at an international level. But when it comes to New Zealand and Te Tiriti o Waitangi, it's consistently undermined by the Crown in this country, and an attempt to domesticate that, and in a way that one treaty partner can go ahead and unilaterally make changes to it, is of deep, deep concern to us.
Tēnā koe, the submission argues that the changes could actually create more legal uncertainty and increase litigation rather than provide clarity. Could you explain what concerns the Commission has about the practical impact of these reforms?
Well, The potential increase in litigation is because the changing of legal thresholds and legal standards that have been tested in the courts and have been administered for a long, long time is now about to be flipped on its head and unsettled and unrested. And people will now need to retest where some of those lines and those thresholds are. And that means, I mean, in some of the cases we're talking about, because there's a massive tranche of legislation, of course, proposed to be amended in one fell swoop. That means that a lot of things that have been settled through the sort of legal testing of those thresholds is now going to be undone. Some of them have been in place for over 20 years or more, and both the legal community and the Māori community have spent quite a bit of time sorting out where those levels are and where things are settling. So to then come around quickly and at pace, just swipe through the lot of those for a different legal standard, is really difficult. Now, don't mistake for one minute the fact that the implementation of Te Tiriti o Waitangi in this country still needs a lot of work and still needs a lot of improvement. Where we're at the moment and trying to defend from regression in that doesn't mean that we've got an ideal standard we're trying to protect. But if anything, we would be advocating for the strengthening or the doubling down on some of those obligations as opposed to regressing away from them and making them weaker. And make no mistake, these proposals are to make those references in a suite of legislation much, much weaker than some of them currently are.
Tēnā koe, Dale Taketemu is our guest. Dale, is there any room for fluidity in the interpretation and application of the treaty in legislation? I raise this because it feels that the coalition government pointed to what they perceived as ambiguity, the many conflicting references to the treaty and pieces of New Zealand legislation. So they pushed down the line of taking into account rather than giving effect to. This fluidity, which Parikura Horomia used to describe as like a puku that expands and contracts, is there any room for that sort of interpretation of what the treaty intended back in 1840, or does it need to be locked down in this Pākehā wave that we're witnessing from the coalition government?
Well, I think we have to remember that in 1840, our tipuna, who signed that document and entered into that constitutional arrangement with the British Crown, were entering into a forward-looking, future-looking document. It's not to be crystallised in 1840. It's certainly not to be crystallised in 2026. It is a document designed to take our country forward. What we're suggesting or advocating for is not to do that at the lowest common denominator, and not to do that at the lowest level possible, but instead to increase the visibility of that agreement between the founding or at the foundation of this country, and to elevate it in terms of its constitutional significance. Stop seeing it as an optional add-on and actually understand that it's the mainframe of the legal system in this country as we know it.
Tēnā koe for Māori communities and the wider public. What could be the real-world consequences if treaty clauses are repealed or weakened across legislation?
Again, a lot of uncertainty. Again, needing to test this through further court cases, litigation, and creating that uncertainty. It means that government departments in particular who have duties in regards to Te Tiriti o Waitangi now will need to really be held to account away from any explicit treaty reference within their governing legislation, which places a lot of burden and onus on hapū and iwi as treaty partners to then have to call that to account each and every time. And they'll be doing it against a backdrop where Parliament has signalled through these changes a weakening or a downgrade, and it's a very, very difficult and precarious position to put hapū iwi in, and also it's a very difficult position to put Te Tiriti o Waitangi in.
This is tough turf. I mean, for a foundation document, the core of how we operate collectively, how it allowed the settlers to come in at our invitation. I mean, we were never assimilated or conquered, yet the legislation across time has certainly put us in an unenviable position. What are you making of the political arrogance that these politicians of today, political tourists, some refer to them as, Dale, that they come in and decide that their interpretation of the way the treaty should be utilised in modern-day New Zealand supersedes all that came before them? We've had some great minds in the past who've looked at the treaty, how it could be the document, as you say, that safeguards our collective futures. But to dumb it down in the way that it seems to be being treated at the moment, what do you make of that political ideology and arrogance?
Well, I think it flies in the face of the trajectory that New Zealand's been going in for some time. And for a lot of treaty advocates, a lot of iwi Māori that's been moving laboriously slowly over 186 odd years, but it has been moving in a particular trajectory, which has been to give greater recognition and for the Crown to really come to the party as an honourable treaty partner. In some cases, look, we're light years away from that, but we're heading in a particular direction. A number of these reforms, and like I last spoke to you at when I was at Waitangi, Dale, and that was in the face of the treaty principles legislation that the government were putting up at that time. A lot of these are regressing right away from that trajectory that we were on as a country and globally, in terms of taking the fear out of this treaty relationship and understanding it's something to be celebrated and it's something to be honoured and it's something that belongs to New Zealand uniquely, and we don't need to be afraid of that. We can lean into that quite confidently. And when we did our Horizon survey poll in terms of what New Zealanders thought of Te Tiriti o Waitangi and the honourable implementation of that, overwhelmingly they were in support of us getting that right and engaging with each other as mature and responsible treaty partners. And this is further degradation, I suppose, of that relationship. And you have to remember that for these 186 years, we've all been trying to get it right. Māoridom have been incredibly patient and have exercised a phenomenal amount of goodwill, trying to work with a crown who, throughout the course of history, has not got that right by their own admission. And then to come to this juncture at 2026, it's more than disappointing. It really erodes away at any residual sort of good faith there might be that the government is committed to making this relationship work. In fact, what they're demonstrating is that unilaterally they'll define the parameters of what they consider themselves bound by and committed to, and that's at odds again with the founding constitutional basis for the establishment of the systems we have in play today.
Tēnā koe, well, we're renowned for our resilience, and many of us refuse to dance to the beat of the governmental drum. So we can expect rearguard action. But at the very time, and I just spoke with the Chief Māori Kai Kōrero for the Electoral Commission, Dale, trying to understand why there's a disconnect by so many Māori to the democratic and electoral process. Well, you can put it down to what we have witnessed and what we are witnessing, getting our mana trampled on, our rights disregarded through time and even to this day. I fear too for organisations such as the Human Rights Commission. I mean, I'm guessing in Wellington there'd be some would say, oh, well, let's kick that outfit to touch as well. How safe is the platform that you're speaking on to political change in the future as well, Dale?
Well, I think what this is demonstrating is there's a lot of things up for potential political change, because if you can change the very foundational agreement that this country is based on, anything's up for grabs. But I think, look, in a cyclical way, politicians and political parties from time to time take a hit at the New Zealand Human Rights Commission, partly because we're established to hold New Zealand to account for the human rights commitments it has made internationally and look to transfer into domestic law. And sometimes that criticism isn't particularly welcome across the board. And so, but notwithstanding that, the commission itself occupies quite a unique space, and New Zealand is recognised internationally as having a national human rights institution that's given an A accreditation by the United Nations subcommittee that accredits all the human rights commissions around the world. And for New Zealand to have any movement in that or have a downgrade in our human rights watchdog would be of international significance to New Zealand's benefit to continue having in what they call an NHRI, a National Human Rights Institution, that is strong and independent, and it forms quite an important part of the checks and balances within the public service.
Well, thank you for your thoughts, time and perspectives. All the best with the mahi ahead. Dale Takitimu, legal kaitautoko for the Human Rights Commission. Thank you, Dale, for your time.
All right, kia ora.
Mauri ora. It's 7:47.